would you call yourself a socialist?
No.
You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
See, somebody sent me a video actually last Friday, and it had you talking at the socialist meeting.
Oh, right. Yes.
And you mentioned the word comrade about four times in a minute. What was that about?
It was a rally, and I would have been about 25 years old.
Comrade.
That was in 2009.
Oh, well, I can't remember which country it was in.
Has it changed since those days?
No, not particularly. No.
If you are caught in a lie or caught intentionally misleading the New Zealand public, how would you expect to be held to account?
Well, I actually believe that it is possible to exist in politics without lying.
We drum in that messaging around the dangers of COVID pretty diligently for a full two-week period of sustained propaganda.
Hi, Grant Edwards. Welcome to Liberty NZ, Sunday night. Hope to have a roundup of the protests that happened yesterday and today. Coming up soon, we'll have Shane Chafin.
This is a COVID-1984 announcement and a New Zealand government hypocrisy alert. Kia ora. The Ministry of Health have forwarded me your inquiry below regarding implementing mandatory vaccines for members of Parliament and Cabinet. As members of Parliament and Cabinet members are democratically elected representatives of the people of New Zealand, it is unlawful to obstruct or impede any member from carrying out their duty as an elected official. It is likely that a rule or law requiring MPs to be vaccinated in order to attend the House would violate this long-standing democratic principle. Ngā mihi. Oh. And you plebs can get stuffed. And get jabbed. Unite against COVID-1984.
Let me paint you a picture. Australia, once known as one of the safest and freest countries in the world. A land of spirit and ceremony. A land of opportunity where the hopeful came for a new start so their children could be free and prosperous. Where the battler had a chance and poor men made good. A land where you were free to explore your surroundings. A land with room to spread one's wings. A land of brotherhood, celebration, and connection. A land where you came to visit and didn't want to leave. A land of privacy rights, medical rights, freedom of speech, freedom of movement, freedom to protest, freedom to worship, thanks to their sacrifice. But something happened.
Today is the first full day of the New World Order.
We've got to accept that this is the New World Order.
The New World Order?
And the Australia we once knew is no more.
Lockdown 6 was announced on August 5.
It is no longer the land of the young and free. It is now a land of division, blackmail, coercion, discrimination, and medical apartheid.
Get off of me!
A land where movement, speech, religion, and opinion are no longer free. Protesting is illegal. Police must enforce corrupt policies to keep their jobs.
As I won't be a police officer after the end of this interview.
Police shoot protesters in the back while they are running away.
This is f***ing Australia!
Doctors and nurses cannot speak. They will lose their license.
I can't really talk about that.
People have lost their jobs because they don't want the injection. Children are missing school and attempting suicide at a high rate. We need to show our papers to go shopping.
If you want freedom, get the jab.
We can't travel across state borders unless we apply for permission to. Members of Parliament are censored and defamed.
100% of those studies.
It's a conspiracy theory.
Pregnant women are arrested for a social media post.
Search warrant.
Search warrant for what?
Activists who fight for democracy are imprisoned.
The moment you're under arrest for incitement.
Our human rights are gone. Our human rights are gone.
It's time that we take off the COVID blinkers and look at what's happened to our once great and free country.
Australia can no longer fight for itself. We have been silenced, assaulted, blackmailed, and psychologically damaged. We tried to fight this battle alone, The government has instilled so much fear that we have lost our vigour to fight. We are a broken nation, and although we will never give up, we need your help to continue our fight. We need help from our international friends. We are seeking your support to apply political and economic pressure on our leaders to change the destructive path that we are on. That is why we are organising a worldwide protest, with Australia excluded, in support of our plight for freedom. This is an official SOS from my beautiful country. We plead with you to hear our cries for help.
Shane Chafin, Revolution Media New Zealand, here in Whangarei today. Here, we're exactly what we've been talking about, at a park where we honor the Anzacs who fought and died for our freedom. Not just World War I and World War II, but all the way back and all the Anzacs. And the fight we are in today is a fight for freedom again. And quite a few people showing up here today, and not even a well-advertised event, unfortunately, but still a good crowd showing up, having a picnic, standing up for freedom, very peaceful, in spite of what the mainstream media would tell us, that these people are terrorists or potential terrorists, but we know better. So we've talked to a lot of people today. No talk of violence, no talk of threats. So this is just the next narrative that is being rolled out from the Beehive by Jacinda Ardern and her crew to put fear onto the populace and keep a populist uprising from occurring and moving forward, because they lost the narrative that was around COVID. That's gone. Jacinda Ardern destroyed that herself in Kalakaua on the 2nd of this month. Now they've had to move the fear forward through a different narrative, and that narrative is, if you resist, you're a terrorist and you're a threatening person, which just isn't the case. What they don't like is people calling them out, saying that there might be a Nuremberg trial, as John Ansel said to the majority whip for Labour. He didn't accuse him of specifically, or say he was going to threaten them to do that. He said they would be put before a tribunal in a legal framework and go through that, and if they were found guilty, then what John Ansel said. But not us, not the protesters, not the people who were standing up for freedom in this country. So what we find is a false narrative from the New Zealand Herald, from David Fisher. Look up what Paul Zetfeld said about that gentleman, and look into that and do some research. It's people like this, like Jacinda Ardern, saying that she's now the victim when she's victimizing the entire country. That's what we're looking at now, folks. But as we can see today from all these protesters showing up, these peaceful protesters, these peaceful picnickers even today, that their narrative is false, as it always is. Shane Chafin, Revolution Media, New Zealand.
10 past 8, Liberty NZ with Grant Edwards. In a moment, we'll speak with the man himself from Revolution Media, Shane Chafin.
Thank you for calling the Customer Service Center for the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine, also known as Comirnaty COVID-19 vaccine, mRNA. The emergency use of the product has not been approved or licensed by FDA, but has been authorized by FDA under an emergency use authorization, EUA, to prevent coronavirus disease 2019. You should not get the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine if you are pregnant, plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding.
There you go. So is our government telling us about this? Shane, what do you think? Do you think it's right that our government is pushing this out and doctors are telling people that are breastfeeding and that are pregnant that they should go ahead and get this vaccine?
Well, there's certainly some disparate information, and it's a little bit confusing as to why. Whenever I put an Official Information Act request in, what they do is they refer me over to the United States or the UK. But the information that you just put on the podcast is clearly from the United States. It's from Pfizer themselves. So, what's real and what's fake? And I know that Dr. Simon Thornley, and I think it's Alicia Brock, sorry if I've got the last name of Alicia wrong, that they just put out a study that stated that during the first two trimesters, you have about an 80% chance of that baby not making it through the pregnancy per the data they examined from the CDC. So it almost appears as if what we're hearing out of Auckland University's epidemiologists and also what you just played from Pfizer lines up. Now, why aren't we hearing that out of criminals. Sorry, I shouldn't say that.
Potential criminals.
Yeah. Such as those in charge who are pushing this vaccine. Why aren't they talking about safety, just as Pfizer just has, just as Simon Thornley and Alicia, the epidemiologist from the Auckland University. Puzzling.
It is absolutely. And South Osmand just said, he just said, how can they make a vaccine on something that hasn't been isolated? What are your thoughts on the virus being isolated?
So the CDC does say that they have isolated it. However, if it's about the only place I could find that actually states we have isolated this virus. I believe this is my feeling from what I've, the information that's out there, is probably what they're doing is the CDC said they isolated it, and they've put the codes, the genetic code, the genome, onto a database, and they've sent that around the world stating, you know, if you have something in here of a percentage-wise, what you've just found with your PCR machine turned up to way past some cycle thresholds that make any sense, then, you know, this is what you have. So I think that's what they're going on.
Hey, just getting back to yesterday at the Revolution News. Well, congratulations, by the way. You're the founder of Revolution News. I like it. I like it a lot.
Revolution Fantastic. Media New Zealand. Thank you.
Oh, media, is it? You're right. Excellent. Sorry, my bad. And so on Saturday, you were at a rally in Whangarei. Can you, we heard a little bit of a report from you. Is there anything you'd like to add to that before I play your groundswell clip from today?
Yeah, so that was a good showing there. And what, again, as I mentioned, not well advertised, but still people coming out peacefully protesting, family oriented, you know, children everywhere and the playground that was there, and a mix of people from very diverse backgrounds and everybody getting on. So I've noticed that the quote white supremacist narrative has died a week and a half ago, because the makeup of the protesters is just so obvious that they can't do that. When you have, you know, like I don't know how many, but 50 to 100 people out in front of the Beehive doing the haka, it's a hard thing to say that those are white supremacists.
Yeah. Good on you. No, that's great. Yeah, it's fantastic. Let's hear your clip now on today's event.
Revolution Media New Zealand, Shane Chafin reporting. And this line of traffic just keeps coming. This is the sovereign protest of a sovereign people, where Parliament ceases to be, quote, assumed sovereign. And the people take back their rights and their sovereignty and declare that they are a people, a free people in this land. Doesn't stop, and it's not going to stop, Jacinda. It's not going to stop government. What we're seeing is massive support out today, not only at Whangarei, but around this nation, sending this message that if you don't stop with your dictatorial process and your crisis management, that these people will rise up and take this government back in their own hands. That's what you're afraid of, because every dictator is. You can call them threatening, you can call them terrorists, you can call them angry, but you've made them angry. You've pushed them to this point. You are the one who's victimized these good people, and this is the response. Shane Chafin, Revolution Media, the New Zealand, the revolution will be televised.
Fabulous, Shane. Absolutely fabulous. Praise the Lord for independent media and for citizen journalists, because if it wasn't for you and others that are out there with cameras and phones, we wouldn't have a clue what was going on. You know, if we just listen to our radio, or if we listen, watch the television, read the newspapers, we wouldn't know anything, would we? We'd be totally in the dark, absolutely in the dark. So thank you, mate.
No worries. Truly my pleasure. I do get a lot of people at these events coming up and thanking me for Kawakawa. And you, Grant, thank you, because you were there helping out as well. And just saying, you know, treating me as an outsider still, because they know I'm from America. And they say, thank you for what you're doing for our country. And I'm just so humbled by that. And I'm like, well, you know, this is just the person I am. And I'm glad to help out and do my part. But what I'm mostly excited about now is what I said on that report, the amount of people now in support of change from what is going on in New Zealand is almost overwhelming. I'm shocked by it. So, you know, I've been doing this for 6 or 8 months, trying to figure out where I fit in, and, you know, just sort of meeting with different people and say, yeah, where are you at? And so now what we're seeing is a whole lot of people deciding that, you know, this has gone too far and it's time to come out. And they have. So there were a few haters, strangely, today as we went by. And these are all people who are, you know, looking at freedom protesters and just being hateful. And I just call them the Jacinda Ardern hench mob, because that's what they act like. You couldn't believe that people could behave so terribly to people who are just out there speaking up to preserve their rights and their freedoms. And you just say, well, these people have to be brainwashed by a bought and purchased media who clearly has a narrative that's been discussed in these, you know, your press conferences, Jacinda said to the rest of the accredited media there. You know, these people, it's there. I mean, it's very elitist for a prime minister to look at mainstream media and say that this person is disrupting your press conference. Well, I thought she was the prime minister of all of New Zealanders, not just the people standing in front of her. So what we're seeing is she's created an elitist bubble, and we're not allowed in that bubble. But the people now have figured out who she is, and she exposed herself a couple different points, but one of them was Kalakaua. And they loved it. They're not in love with her like they were before. The world has fallen out of love with her. And I think what we're seeing now is, you know, sort of a lover scorned. And as the banner flying over Auckland City behind an airplane said, "We don't love you anymore, Jacinda."
Mm. Did you hear Brian Tamaki today?
Well, no, I have not heard him. Do you have that clip?
Yeah, I do have that. Yeah, I'll play it.
I've come here today because I just want to say to the people, not only in the park here in the Domain, but right across New Zealand now, who are meeting in many cities and towns of our nation, who believe like you, the same family across this country, that something very sinister, something very bad happened to us some time ago there, almost 2 years ago, where this government decided to turn on its own people. They turned on us, the citizens of New Zealand, and began to quickly bring in a horrible law, legislation, a sinister spirit of action against its people to take away and strip our freedoms and our rights from us, that we would be locked down and put into levels, steps, traffic lights are coming. I mean, any person with reason and intelligence would know that it just doesn't feel right. Forget of all the agenda they got or whatever their plan is, and they have a plan, I know that. But I want to just appeal to every person in this country. The only reason why Jacinda Ardern and this Labour government can get away with the criminal acts that they're committing on this country and seeing good people lose their jobs, and I know many of you are here today and some are not, but you've lost your jobs and you've lost your businesses just because you wanted to have the freedom of choice to not be coerced, forced, bribed or bought to take a medical procedure, which is the Bill of Rights, that we have the right to reject, say yes or no to, or to make the decision ourselves.
It goes on for a little while, but that's Brian Tamaki. And I think it was yesterday, wasn't it, Shane? Saturday, not today. He was at one of the parks in Auckland. So, I wasn't a great fan of Brian Tamaki, but I don't know why I wasn't. Probably I was just influenced by, you know, what other people said, what the media said about him. But I can't really fault what he says. I like what I hear from that man. So you can only go on what a man says, can't you? You can't really go on what other people say. My mother used to say, believe nothing of what you hear and only half of what you see. I think she's right. And today you can't believe even the stuff you see, can you? Incredible.
So Tamaki is an interesting guy because I came here, and this was in 2019. When I came here then in 2019, all the politics started firing up because, you know, election year sort of stuff, 2019-20. And Brian Tamaki came out and he spoke and I listened to him. And I said to a certain small party, I was like, okay, what that guy has is really important. And they came back, and I got so much grief for saying that, and they misinterpreted, like, took me out of context and said, he'll never be prime minister. And I said, that's funny. I never said he'd be prime minister. What I said is what he has is what your party lacks. And sure enough, Billy T came through right after that and pulled a lot of people over to his side because he had that charisma and he had the right, he was saying the right things. And so Brian Tambaki has pretty much stayed fairly right down the center of his lane, and he's not changed, and he's just kept on where he's at. And so, you know, he's faulted for other things, but when I listen to his message, I go, well, his message is good. That's true. If now if he sticks to it, why not?
Yeah, I was disappointed when he put Hannah Ford for that political party back when Billy T was running. And I actually wrote to him and I said, why don't you stand? You know, you need to stand. Don't put your wife out there in the firing line. You know, rightly or wrongly, I just don't think he should have. Anyway, I think he should have been back there instead of Billy T. Heck, I've almost forgotten his name. Isn't it terrible when you don't hear from them for a while? They go underground. You forget who these people are. But I think he should have made a move at the last election, Brian Tambaki. But he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to do that.
He's a pastor, he's a bishop, he's a preacher.
Yeah.
Maybe that's he's where bishop, he feels comfortable in his world. And so possibly, you know, that's where he feels most comfortable. So he's staying there. And I think, you know, coming up, I think we'll do it. I mean, this freedom movement that I see happening around New Zealand with a lot of different players in it, and there will be political parties, I guarantee it, coming and springing forth and coming out of this. The question is, what will the leaders be like? So
I just get turned off when I hear them talking about new political parties, just the same old, same old. Got the National Party trying to reinvent themselves. Sue Gray, I'm tempted to vote for her next time because I'm really impressed with what she's done. What are your thoughts on Sue Gray?
So I like what she's done. She is a great orator, and you know that's part of what she does for a living. But I watched her speech up at Waitangi during the hikoi. And I thought, you know, she's got it. She knows how to do that. She's a good public personality. She's got her ducks in a row. She's a very smart person. And so, you know, I think there's potential in around her for that. Now, the question is you know, what does it look like? Because she's currently with the Outdoors Party. So that's great.
Oh, she's not. Sorry.
I think she's co-leader in the Outdoors Party.
Oh, yeah, co-leader,
last I checked. So I think it'll still fall back onto not just her star power in New Zealand and what she's done, because she's got hero status here without a doubt. I watched her walk down in front of the Beehive and just get, you know, the crowd just erupted. So she certainly has the political sway. There's no doubt, which is why she's being attacked. They're so dogged about getting rid of her. I guarantee that's it, because no one's talking about Jacinda Ardern as the great prime minister anymore. Eyes have turned to Sue Gray now. That's what I think.
Yeah. 26 minutes past 8. You're with Liberty NZ with Grant Edwards and board certified pharmacist from Washington, D.C., Shane Chafin. We'll be back in a moment.
It's a general immune health preventive strategy. So you need vitamin D, then you need zinc, which is the bullet. And then to form a functioning gun, you need vitamin C and quercetin. Patients were having trouble sourcing it because it was four different ingredients that were not always available in the same place. They had trouble finding the right doses. It was a puzzle that was a little too complex for people to put together. So I was asked to produce something that has everything in one package. So with the help of my colleagues, we were able to produce a compound called Z-Stack, which basically has vitamin C, vitamin D, and most importantly, has quercetin and zinc. And all I'm allowed to say is that it's an immune booster and nutritional supplement, which it is.
It's Dr. Zelenko. That's the Z-Stack protocol. Have you heard much about that, Shane? That Z-Stack, it's supposed to be if you're... I think we call it Z stack over here, but in America it's Z stack. And I think it's to do with if you're in close contact with people that have been vaccinated. There's a lot of talk about all over the world about transmission, which we used to call shedding, didn't we, in the old days? They knew about shedding, didn't they, with the vaccines? That's his formula for keeping yourself healthy. Do you think that sounds pretty good to you, or do you think you need to investigate a bit more before you commented on it?
I think there's a few things in there, and he's sort of outlined them as well. So what he said, you know, if I remember this formulation correctly, and it hasn't changed, which is why I was trying to look it up, because these things often do change depending on availability of product. So I just was but what I understood was that it is a prophylaxis sort of thing, so preventative. Probably has zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C, and quercetin, or some ionophore, something that helps zinc get into the cell to stop viral replication.
And perhaps mix up a brew here for us.
Yeah,
you are fully qualified.
I mean, honestly,
after all,
it's hard to find somebody. Yeah, I agree. he's onto this though, because we know zinc does that. We know we need an ionophore. And what they did was they looked at chloroquine in 2005 in Beijing during the first SARS-1 outbreak, and outbreak being released from the Beijing Institute of Virology outbreak. It was some sort of release from there. We'll just keep it at some sort of. What they found is they went back and they did the Chinese did some studies, and they looked at chloroquine and they said, oh, look, you know, if you put chloroquine and zinc there, it actually works really well. And they were trying to figure out why. And I think there's a couple different mechanisms that have been identified now. But Vladimir Zevzelenko, or Dr. Zelenko, says, you know, that's the thing that opens up the cell to let the zinc in. So the zinc won't work unless it gets into the cell. So that's the mechanism there. Vitamin D, good. Yep.
So I take zinc, and not a lot. I'd probably take, you know, a couple of tablets a week, little tablets. I'm not sure how many grams they are, or milligrams rather. But do I need something else for that to work on me? You know,
according to Zev Zelenko, yes. Yes, right. You need some sort of ionophore. And he usually recommends quercetin, as I can find. So I'm just trying to...
Can you type that in the chat?
That's what he's got in it. So he's got vitamin C at 800 milligrams. He's got vitamin D3, 125 micrograms, zinc 30 milligrams, and quercetin at 500 milligrams, 95% quercetin product. So absolutely. Right. Yep.
Right.
So yeah, so that makes a lineup. Yep.
Yeah, great. I'm sort of thinking about taking that sort of thing serious, that, as you say, a prophylactic. Probably a good idea. And to those that don't know what a prophylactic is, it's just it's like a vaccine, really, isn't it? Taking something before you need it to protect yourself. Good one. And getting back to the political parties, so are you sort of excited about the election coming up, or do you think it's, you know, like, how do you see, does anything you think we need to do in politics in New Zealand before we can have a fair and free election?
Yeah, watch them like hawks, because that's what it's called for. Because if we don't get a free and fair election, then what we need to do is demand a free and fair election. And we need not put up with anyone who steals an election or votes or any shifty things. And you know, I go back to what Paul Zetfeld, because I've been looking into his history, and he did, you know, he forced the New Zealand government to do a massive investigation on pedophilia at all levels of government and probably society. I'm not there yet, but they must have found a heap, because they sealed those documents. The government sealed it. We can't look at them. So if the government of New Zealand is in the business of hiding things, then why wouldn't they hide something else? They sort of tipped their hand a little bit, from what I can find out currently. So, you know, it's not transparent and around some very touchy subjects. So now I think what we need to do is really put people. You asked me, am I excited about that? Yeah, I'm always excited about elections. I'm a political science nerd. So yeah, I do want to see what happens. And I what I'm seeing now is there is a populist wave in New Zealand. This is similar to the populist wave that happened in 2015 in America. And now it's coming here, and it's a populist wave for freedom. You know, they can paint it however they want, because whenever the establishment starts to lose, then all they do is start, you know, demonizing their opponents and pulling out every dirty trick and everything they could possibly find. But the overall in America, they're still having a populist revolution over there. They are politically and culturally, it's happening. It's not going to stop. And around the world, what we're seeing is Jair Bolsonaro, and we're seeing some people in Europe, which they've moved a couple out of the way, but there's still some very staunch populist strongholds in Europe and attached to the European Union. And Brexit was a populist movement. So I think it's here. I think it's taken a while, but it's got here.
Who do you see apart from Sue Gray that you think suitable to run our country? Because I've lost faith with Judith Collins and the National Party. I've lost faith with ACT and David Seymour, because they all seem to be in cahoots with this vaccine rollout, and they're not saying anything about it. They're just going along with it. They're not really opposition. The only one that I've seen is Sue Gray. Are there anyone else? Is there anyone else in this country that's, you know, suitable, qualified to be in opposition?
Well, that's, I don't even think it's to be in opposition. I think it's to lead. And so what we're seeing right now is, you know, there's a process that's happening right now, and it's pulling out leaders from places. You know, I always say that, you know, psychopaths are drawn to power, and then good people are, it's thrust upon. So I think we have some psychopaths certainly in power right now. What we're seeing, these moves could certainly qualify for that title. However, if there are good people being thrust forward out of positions who were never called to those positions, but they, you know, it looks like they're getting ready and willing to pick those up now. Where I think, what are we, 2 years out? Did I get that right?
Could be right. Yeah, what was the last one?
I think 20, that's
23, isn't it?
It's over 3 years. 23. And that process is going to move through, because people have lost faith in the current parties. And I understand ACT is growing. If you look for the current polls, it looks like ACT is growing, and Labor is down in the poll. Jacinda specifically is down in the polls. And you also have National down in the polls. So the two long-term establishment parties aren't doing so well. They're probably not going to do well, considering that, again, what you just said about, they seem to all be on the same page, singing from the same hymn book about things that are violating people's rights and freedoms. So that's not going to be a good look moving forward. ACT,
I don't think,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
So David Seymour and ACT seem to be, you know, sticking their, wetting their finger and sticking it up into the wind and see which way the wind blows. Because you're right, early on, this was full bore. Hey, let's go. Let's everybody get vaxxed. And never mind what Sweden happened to Sweden. That's a death plan. That's not a way out. And, you know, let's follow basically more the Israeli model. And we see that that didn't work. Now, that that's all been called out, not specifically to ACT, but that process that Israel's going through, it's clearly failing. It's failing. So ACT is going to have a hard time coming back behind that and saying, oh yeah, what we said before about, you know, getting everybody vaccinated is great, because, well, it's not working now. And that's why Jacinda's rolling out the booster now, and people aren't real excited about that either. I think ACT has some work to do moving forward, even in itself, because one of the smaller parties is going to come up and eat its lunch. If it's true, if it's real, it looks like it, what if Sue Gray gets in and her gets into the political stream and her policies aren't too far out, she will be a force to be reckoned with. And so that's where my eyes go. Now, that being said, she's going to have a group of people around her as well who are in that same area, in that same space, and moving right now, moving with what's going on. Now, there are some out there that I see. I won't name any right now because it's not far enough along to put anybody in those places, but I do see some people on the rise. So that's just the process of populism and how it works, because in populism, what happens is the established parties, the people lose faith in them, and the government has no mandate anymore from the people. The people rise up, they pick a new set of leaders or a new leader or a new parties, and they push them into place, and then there's sort of a battle royale moving into the next election. So I think it's going to be pretty exciting coming up, and we're going to see things in New Zealand probably that we haven't ever seen before. That's my take.
Mm. Do you think Brian Tamaki will make a run for it, or do you think he's just, it's not really his thing?
Well, I think he's a question mark, which is why I didn't put him forward, because he says a lot of great things.
Yeah,
and I think he could have a lot of backing, but I think there's some questions out there that probably need to be resolved, and that work could be done. Absolutely, 100%. Because I look at Tamaki, I look at the speeches he's given, I look at what he did way back when I think they were in lockdown 4, or all of us were, and he still had church. I looked at what he said back then and how he said it. And that was an absolutely brilliant message that he gave. And, you know, he just stood up to the government. And back then, you know, everybody was so full of fear that he seemed like this crazy outlier. But yeah. Time has proven him right. So there's some things that have gone very well for him. I think some reminders need to be put out there about things like I just said, and there about his legacy in what's happened. He mentioned, you know, 2 years ago, the sinister thing, but the more that work needs to be done, and he needs to step out front in that space a little bit, where Hannah Tamaki, if I got her name right, was in there. And so there's some work that still needs to be done in that space. Not that it couldn't be, because it could be, and quickly clear this up and move it forward. The other thing is there's some younger sort of leaders that are coming up as well. So a lot of work still in development. But what I see is, on the big landscape, we have the Freedom of Rights Coalition, which is the Tamaki thing. We also have Voices for Freedom that is huge out there.
Oh, yeah. So I forgot about them.
And so you've got the three ladies who run that at the top. And when you look at that, you go, well, how quickly could this sort of resistance movement morph into a political movement? And the answer is, I think, pretty quickly. That could move fast. Now, they don't have specific policies, but they do have a history of fighting tyranny. So it depends, again, what their policies are going to be. They have a really good sort of instep as far as the political space. They can just step right in, but they're not going to cross the line unless they're politically, what they're pushing forward makes sense to the New Zealand public. So I think there's still work to be done there, but we're not there yet. We're not all that close to it. So I think there's already existing organizations that could be flipped right over into political organizations with very little to do.
Liberty NZ, we are speaking with board certified from Washington, D.C., Shane Chafin. Almost said Dr. Shane Chafin then. Shane, sorry about that. We'll be right back in a moment.
Are you going to get vaccinated? I think I want to wait a bit longer. What do you need to wait? I'm just not in a rush to get it, mate. Have you had it? Yeah, I've had it. Why are you being so selfish? How am I being selfish? Because if you get COVID, you can pass it on to me. But you've been vaccinated. Yeah, but I can still get it. So if I get vaccinated, I can still get it too. Yeah, but you should still get it, because then you won't pass it on to me. But if I get vaccinated, I can still get it and still pass it on to you. Well, yeah, but you should still get it. But you can catch it off me whether I've been vaccinated or not. Yeah, but you should still get vaccinated. But why? Because it's the right thing to do. Who says? The people that make it.
Well, thank you very much, Shane, for joining us tonight. You think all in all that the protest, the protests against the government mandates is growing, or do you think it's waning a little bit? Some people have said to me they expected more people out today. But would you agree with that, or was it pretty good in Whangarei?
No, in Whangarei, it was strong. I mean, that's the biggest showing I've seen so far. So, no, not, and I have a lot of footage of it too. So Now, today was an absolutely amazing day. It was the mother of all protests so far. So the farmers did very, very well. And they have great messaging. They have great organization in the group, at least the Whangarei Bay side. I've saw what happened down in Wellington. So now today I thought was brilliant. The Freedom and Rights Coalition struggled a little bit yesterday. And so I was a little bit disappointed in that. But I'm not sure why, but that can all be resolved pretty good, because that's one event out of the last three or four. They did very, very well. Their numbers grew substantially. So I think we are on the upside of this. The resistance is growing. More mandates means more people dumping into the resistance. So I hope that the dictator in chief, as she is, comes out and just goes full hog with the totalitarianism, because the more she pushes, the better it is for the resistance. So Jacinda, do what you know you have to do.
Do your worst, love. New Zealand police, they seem to be, it's not mandatory for them to be vaccinated yet, is it?
Well, it's not mandatory. We're back to Jacinda Ardern and her deceptions. It's not mandatory for all of them to be vaccinated, but it is mandatory for some of them to be vaccinated, is what I understand from my sources. And that's that people who may be in contact with being able to go into hospital or hospital staff or nursing homes or schools. So they have been given a deadline, and I believe it's mid-December if my sources are right. So some of them have, but not all of them. But I have to say, in the last three protests, there was, the protest today, I didn't see any visible stationary police presence whatsoever. I mean, a few police cars came by, but that you'd see it in any given day like that. And they weren't overly concerned, I can tell you that. Yesterday there was one police officer there, one. And the protest before that, which was when the teachers and the nurses, when Jacinda forced the teachers and the nurses to be fired, that day there was zero visible police presence, stationary police presence. So the police seem to be signaling something, at least up in Northland, that as I've mentioned before, I've talked to a higher up police official in Whangarei Base, and what they said was, and when I mentioned
a lot of them agree with us.
Yeah, I've said, this virus kills very small percentage of people for really well done epidemiological studies, and the guy said to me, "You're preaching to the converted."
Yeah.
So I just hat tip to all the police officers out there who get it and who've looked into it and done the research, because the truth is, we don't want you to be mandatorily vaccinated either. There's no reason that anyone should be mandatorily vaccinated, as Ms. Ardern lied to the person she was either FaceTiming or Zooming or whatever she was doing. And then she backpedaled and said, "Oh, I just meant, not everyone would be mandatorily vaccinated." I mean, this is just, again, I just use the word disgusting, because how else could you describe somebody who says, if you told a lie, you play this, and she said, "Well, I think it's possible to be in politics without lying." Well, we're seeing that didn't age well.
It's possible, but she's not able to do it. We've talked about this before, about how can we support good police? How can we show them that we've got their back?
Well, I think we signal that in particular when there are police around. Like, so during one of the police protests, we saw two police officers stationed, and they were along, and we just walked up, and because at that point it was not too long after I had spoken with Jacinda up in Kawakawa, and I just walked up and showed him my badge, and I said, "Just so you know, we're press. I'm not sure if we're accredited, but I think we applied. So Jacinda probably loves us now." And they laughed. They said, "I'm not sure that's the case." And I just turned around and showed them the back of my shirt that says Shane and Ardern and a heart 2021. And they just laughed. And I think it's reaching out. It's being informative, because we've had a lot of really informed people with credentialing who have spoken to the police, and they've mentioned, "Here's the studies. Here's the VAERS reporting system. Go look at this stuff for yourself. Don't trust us. Go research it. see what's out there, and don't just listen to the quote podium of truth or the single source of truth. That's nonsense. And I think they have done that work. And so it's showing them that if we could, we clearly aren't a threat. If we were, we'd be surrounded by police, like, you know, we're in Australia. But
that's right.
They know better. They know better. So they don't believe the government lies, the lies about us, and they don't seemingly don't believe the government lies about infection fatality rates and that sort of thing either.
Yeah, they deal with bad people every day, and they know good people when they see it. You know, police aren't silly. You get the odd silly policeman that will go and wander and like go and interview someone like John Ansell, for example. You know, you couldn't get a more mild-mannered person in New Zealand than John Ansell. And, you know, for him to get riled up, you know, it must be pretty bad. So let's hope we don't have too many like that. And let's hope the police stay where they are and speak out and not all resign, because I know there's a lot of – the morale is pretty bad from my sources inside the police. It's pretty bad. And so we need to encourage them, I think, to stay and be good New Zealand citizens and stand for the rights and freedoms of New Zealanders and resist tyranny. They have to resist tyranny because it's not lawful for them to obey immoral orders. You know, you have to give an account for that. So let's hope we can show them all the love and prayers. I think our prayers should go for the New Zealand police, the good policemen, and the bad ones too, that they'll turn and realise what they're doing. And those that are on the fence, that they'll be strong and do what's right instead of just do what they're ordered to do. Think about what you're doing, guys. You know, this is your families too that will be affected by these mandates, your loved ones. And so we hope and pray that you will bandy together and do the right thing. Shane, have you seen the New Zealand police against Ardern mandates? They've done a video. Was it you who sent me that? I think it was, wasn't it?
It was.
Fantastic, isn't it?
Brilliantly done video of you know, the New Zealand police in uniform holding up signs in front of them and said, you know, I've been here for 18 years and you know, this was not what I signed up for, basically. This is not my job, and you know, we're not the mandate police. And it was so well done. And I was actually shocked when I saw it. And I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, there are really, really good police officers out there who are struggling with what they're seeing, what's put in front of them. And you know, it's not right for them to be put in that position. And as I mentioned on the show before, they're like this whole COVID mess with the, quote, crisis declared and emergency management from, you know, basically the prime minister's seat. It's sort of extrajudicial, if you will, because as I've inquired to the Ministry of Justice about specific parts of the COVID orders, and what they said to me is that's outside of our jurisdiction. And I said, well, you know, where can I, you know, point me in a direction where I can get this answered? And they gave me the number to Parliament. Now that's just almost unheard of.
It's not right.
So the news. Mm. So they just wash their hands because they have no jurisdiction here. And yet they're supposed to be then going back and enforcing these draconian measures upon a population without democratic process. And that's why I said today, I called for Jacinda Ardern to do what's right. Do what's right by New Zealand. You said that you were going to be a prime minister for all the people. Well, we clearly can see that that's not true. Not only that, but you're making minority groups so that you can then discriminate against them. I mean, again, the word disgusting is appropriate there because this is against everything who she says she is. And she's always, quote, defended the minorities, even when she's standing on stage, whenever it was, because she can't remember the country or the year. But when she's saying comrade, 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 all she spoke about was minority groups with minority status. And now she's creating those things. So now we had the police involved in this process, and it's just absolute madness. And you can tell that a lot of people believe that this is madness. So they're caught in the middle of it. But even so, being in the middle, saying things like, because we did speak to one guy, and he's like, well, you know, I'm going to have to pay my mortgage. Well, that's great. But other people can't pay their mortgage anymore because of what happened to them. So it goes back to sort of 1938, 1940s Germany, where the Jews say, you know, they came for the baker, but I wasn't a baker. They came for the butcher, but I wasn't a butcher. They came for the teachers, but I wasn't a teacher. And when they came for me, there was no one left to help me. And this is where we're at. So this is why the population, and we're driving as from the points of freedom, that is, and the points that we make on our channel, you know, this process is driving that populist zeal because it's healthy and good to get that out there so the police don't feel trapped in their spots and don't feel like they need to go oppress people. And that's great, but we want to make room and space for them in what is to come, because what I'm seeing is the Great Awakening, and that's what it's called around the world. So you have countries like Austria, where we're now hearing messages or messaging that the police and the military are going to join with the Austrian people against what is happening from their government. And that's what we want.
That's what
because
we want.
Then we can all move. We can all move forward in something that makes more sense. Hopefully, more of a constitutional type republic. Because in the United States, we don't struggle with these issues as much because it keeps going to a court, and the court has to pay attention to the founding document, which is the highest law in the land, and they have a really hard time getting around that. So a lot of mandates in the United States are now failing because of that, and they're having in the White House, even though they push them, they're having to pull them back now. And OSHA, Occupational Safety Health Administration, that's who the federal government in the United States try to empower to go enforce these, like the Business of Innovation Ministry, whatever it is here. So the same sort of process, but they're not getting away with it in the U.S. because they have a constitution and they have, it's a republic. So it's over there, Congress is not assumed sovereign at all. So some things have to change to protect us and protect the citizens from tyrannical governments. So this is a learning curve.
A constitutional monarchy is supposed to do that, but it's clearly not doing that, because the Governor General, who is the Queen, really, for all intents and purposes, she's chosen by the Prime Minister. And that's the problem. There's nepotism. New Zealand's too small for the Governor General to be chosen by the Prime Minister. And now I used to be a constitutional monarchist. I loved it. I loved the fact that we had a constitutional monarchy. I don't anymore. That New Zealand is actually a constitutional monarchy. I think I'm agreeing with you. I think we need to ditch them because they've led us up the garden path. You know, that we might as well not even have a queen anymore. She's supposed to be the head of state, and her governor general is supposed to be her representative and make sure that the laws that are passed in parliament are in line with our constitution. We do have an unwritten constitution, and that in itself is bogus, because why is it not easy to follow? Why isn't it codified like your one? And I think we do need to move away from that. The queen's let us down. And I think we do need to go to a constitutional republic. But who would write that constitution? I don't know. Would you trust anyone at the moment? Who would we trust to write a constitution for us?
Well, I think there are people out there who could do that. And, you have the Magna Carta that's existed for hundreds of years. You have the U.S. Constitution that's there. You have other countries that have constitutions for smaller populations that could maybe be a bit more representative of what this is. And why not? So it's time that we move away from trusting in these public figures or these political figures or these monarchical figures. A lot of the rest of the world said no to this a long time ago. And as we've seen now, we're just being brutalized by it, just like, other countries in the past have been brutalized by this type of thing. But those who have the highest law of the land, which is written down in very plain language, well, it's hard to get around that and damn near impossible to get around a lot of it. So that's why they fare better. And the government has to just come out as extremely tyrannical. But when that happens, the populations turn on them because they know what they know what the laws say. They're not trusting in a person to make a decision sometime in the future that affects them in good ways. They're saying, no, we already have this covered, and here's what it says, and you have to, this is the highest land, you have to abide by what this is. So it creates a different citizen than what we're seeing currently.
Shane Chafin, thank you very much for joining me.
My pleasure. If I'm, please hit me up.
Oh.
Carry on, Shane.
Please hit me up on Telegram at Revolution Media New Zealand.
We speak with Shane Chafin. He's a DC board certified pharmacist, and he is the founder of Revolution Media. Make sure I was going to say Google, but probably not Google. Look out for Shane Chafin. He'll be hopefully on our show regularly. Thank you, Shane. I really appreciate that. We'll go out to the soundtrack from the New Zealand Police Against the Ardern Mandates. Good night.
What about us? What about all the times you said you had the answer? What about us? What about all the broken happy ever after? What about us? What about all the plans that ended in disaster? What about love? What about trust? What about us? We are problems that want to be solved. We are children that need to be loved. We were willing, we came when you called. But man, you fooled us. Enough is enough. What about us? What about all the times you said you had the answer? What about us? What about all the broken happy ever after? What about us? What about all the plans that ended in disaster? What about love? What about...
So the Hastings Hospital has gone into a state of emergency because 250 healthcare workers have left. This over here is two scientists. She is the only one in Hawke's Bay that can read cancer screenings, so Hawke's Bay Hospital can no longer have cancer screenings read. 250 healthcare workers are no longer working at the Hastings Hospital. So the Hastings Hospital has got...
Officers approached my restaurant on the 11th of the 11th to check on double vaccinated staff to make sure our staff have their vaccine passports and making sure they're following the proper procedure. And they found that we were all above board. So here we are the 12th of the 11th, the next day, it's about 10:15, and as we can see through the back door, a gentleman walks in with a white shirt, black jeans, and walks out the front door, unmasked. About 2 to 3 minutes later, the gentleman and a lady approach our door. One of our young staff approaches them and says, "Hi, welcome to Richey's." She also asked them to scan in and to show the vaccination passport and to also walk through our temperature control gauge. And at that point, they flashed a police badge to say, "No, we're here to check on the vaccination passport." I don't know why it was so dramatic, why they had to get in the way of customers and why they had to approach the staff in the way they did, why they had to pretend they were customers and then say they were police. Watching the video for the first time, my chest tightened up. These staff have come in, they're already under tremendous amount of pressure to be checking vaccination passports, people are scanning in, and to follow the Richey's procedure. It's tough. As you can see in the back of the CCTV, there's other customers who are probably heading to the food court where they don't need to be checked. And the restaurants to the right and left, there's about 5 or 6 of them were not checked. So at this point, there's 4 staff who are in the front of house and the restaurant is empty. And at this time, you could see the panic in the staff. You could see them just walking around and they know there's a police officer there. Their heart rate is going through the roof. They're going, "What are we doing wrong?" And we have extra people on. So you could see the labor for an empty restaurant, which is costing us over $150,000 a week as an organization to be mandating the government regulation. Meanwhile, I want to state that you could go into a massive shopping center, into a massive supermarket, whatever it is, and you need to provide nothing. How is that fair? You could see the girl in the black shirt. She's trying to work out and trying to find all the policies and regulations that we follow that we've printed as an office for them. She's trying to show everything. She's in a full panic situation, and I've spoken to the girl since. I can tell you her mental health is not in a good way. So the reason I've put up this video is you could see the mental health of our staff. This is not the country we are. This is not the policies we need. We are putting our police force in a position that we don't need to. We are putting our staff in a position that they don't need to be in. They don't know what our kids are going through every day, getting up to try and make ends meet. And then to have all this pressure on top of this, as we could see what is left, what is this country coming to? I am truly embarrassed for our future. Now it's time to stand up and it's time to speak the truth. And I say this with a heavy heart. And you know what? It's not easy making this video. I don't want to come across as a sook, but you know what? I'm speaking out and I don't care because I've had enough. Because if that's what my kids are going to grow up in, if this is a country, it's time for the pretenders to move out of the way. It's time to stand up and fight for the people. Enough is enough.
Hi guys, John Ansell. And I'm here in the dead centre of Masterton to make a point to an old work buddy called Gavin Bradley, who used to be the creative director of Saatchi & Saatchi Wellington when it was one of the top five offices in the world. So he's no slug when it comes to creativity. But Gav, you want to, humiliate me on my own Facebook page about being mentally ill. And why? Because I take issue with a man who takes issue with children staying alive. I'm at the grave here. I used to weed these graves when I was at school as community service. And I'm here with Avis Moiror Hollings, who's five, or was. She was probably here when I did the weeding. May have weeded her grave. Why am I here with Avis? And why am I now getting up to look at some other graves of children? These are all of children. And this one here, right at the end here, or in the middle actually, is the grave of Darling Robin. My mother's maiden and my mother's surname, Darling. And Robin was 12. And that's the point I'm making, is 5 to 12 is the age range. It's the age range for the new vaccine rollout to children, after the first vaccine rollout to teenagers, which killed, well, still going on. But 9 is the last total I'm aware of. I know people who've talked to the parents who are being bribed with $100,000 to $200,000 to stay silent about the reason for the deaths of their children. Now I'm moving to a different part of the graveyard, because now I want to talk to the police officers of New Zealand. I'd been talking to a loathsome MP and chief whip, as you may know, who's a crybaby and wants protection. He doesn't want to protect the children, just himself and his fellow genocidal agents of the left. So my question for the police officers and the army officers of New Zealand: when you get orders to kill me, arrest me, kill me, whatever, this is what I expect, this is a communist takeover after all, will you stand up with the communists, or will you do what these guys are doing and turn your backs? Will you turn your backs? These proud soldiers of World War II and World War I would be disgusted with you. My father, who was just another soldier, volunteered to serve his country, he would be disgusted with you. So it's really a moral choice for the people hired by the state to kill their fellow people, as surely is Comrade Jacinda's plan. She's doing it already with the Jackson's, 250 of them so far dead just after being Jacksonated. Extraordinary coincidences, don't you think? So get with the program, Gav. Don't get stuck into me. Get stuck into some research. I say